Did they figure it out yet? There you go. Just a real quick, now that ought to work for you, Joe. That'll work? Okay. All right, that's better. John told me to make sure that you guys here were aware, and I know that you are, because most of you got stuff in the mail. But we're going to be having our first annual Southwest Bible Conference at the end of October, October 31st through November 2nd. There is some brochures back on the deck back there, or the bar there, so make sure that you are able to get them. I have a list. It's growing. The free rooms are almost but gone. But if you're interested in coming and visiting the Southwest in October, you can ask Marla. It's rather nice time of year. If you'll come and do that, then we'll be glad to have you. Dad will be there, and John will be teaching, and I'll be teaching. And the theme of it is the soundness in our lives. We're going to do sound mind, sound doctrine, sound thinking, sound in the faith, sound speech. And then Dad's going to be studying the book of Philemon in connection with all of that. So we'll have a good time with that. If you're coming, you need to let me know. Don't call the hotel, call me. And so forth. If you're on the internet and you want to go to the website, you can, the church website there, butnow.org, and there's a brochure there that you can have and look at and have all that good stuff. But it is good to be back at camp. Another year gone by. My topic this morning is faith, and why is it fundamental? If you'll go over with me to Hebrews chapter number 11, that's the verse that was given to me, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, and we'll get started this morning. If I take off my glasses, you'll have to forgive me. I was just at the eye doctor, and I had had RK done about 13, 14 years ago, and now my eyes, as I get older, are going downhill. My right eye is 20/50, my left eye is 20/20, so half of you are real big and the other half are real small. So they gave me glasses to fix that. Problem is the glasses give me a headache. So, and this is I haven't had them but for just a couple days. So if... Okay, that side. And now that side. So, but the glasses make you all equal. If I take them off, you'll understand what's kind of going on. It's interesting, the doctor looks at me and he says, "You're an oddity to have such a disparity between your eyeballs." I said, "Well, that's okay." He goes, "But you're too young to have bifocals, because I'd give you bifocals and that'll fix it too." But I said, "Well, I like the young part." Just so you understand what's going on, if all of a sudden I stumble and fall, that's because one side of the room got bigger than the other. Or I take them off. And then I don't know if I can see the book. But anyway, Hebrews 11, verse number 6, that's the text that John had passed out. You know, you like those passing out the couple days beforehand. You know, here's your text. Boom. It's like so. We're going to talk this morning about faith, tomorrow morning about hope, and then Saturday morning about charity. And the topic or the theme for the week was a spiritual checkup. And hopefully we can get started. Last night we got started real good with the Word of God and having the Word of God and understanding that it is the Word of God. It isn't just a book. And when we begin to look at today about faith, why is it fundamental? Why is it the foundation? You know, why can't it be something else? And the verse 6 here, he says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for Your Son. And as we look at the issue of faith, that we would just realize why it is fundamental, and that's because You require it. And we'll just give You the praise and the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Over in Romans 8, he talks about that when you're in the flesh, you do what? You cannot please God. So the question is why is faith fundamental? What do you think? Why is it fundamental? Why is it the bedrock of everything that we do, ultimately? And really the answer, and then we're going to massage it and look at it, is the issue of, it's what God has required. It is what God has required of Himself before the foundation of the world, when they had their eternal conference and their meeting. And so faith becomes this underlining issue here that is required. The verse here, in Hebrews 11, it's very fascinating because it talks about by faith, Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses' mom and dad, by faith I mean, all this stuff about faith. So that begs the question, okay, what is faith then? You know, you have faith that that seat that you sat down in was going to hold you up. You just what? I looked at it, I believe it's going to hold me up, and I sit down. Now what you didn't know is that on a couple of these seats, we loosened the screws. So you don't know that. But when you sat down, faith. So a definition of faith. I'd like to start there, building a fundamental. Why it's fundamental. Why is it a foundation? Faith has been defined as a positive response to the Word of God. Because in faith, faith is one of those non-merit things. You can't work for it. The value in faith is the object you're believing in. You see, when you believed that that chair would hold you up, the chair was that object of your faith. That when I sit down on this, it's going to hold me up. And that's really what it is. Look over at 1 John. By the way, before you leave, you see Hebrews 11:1? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. Everybody says that's a definition of faith, but that isn't a definition of faith. That is a description of what faith does. That's a description of how faith operates in your life. Because it's the substance of things hoped for. Now, in a couple days, tomorrow we're going to talk about our hope. What are we hoping for? You know, the rapture, the new body, the going to heavenly places. You know, I love that song in the songbook there, verse number 30, about being seated in heavenly places. I mean, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're after. That's what we're hoping for. And our faith is what? That, hey, God said He's going to do this, and He's going to do it, and that's what we're hoping for. So, really a definition of faith. Look over at 1 John, chapter number 5. 1 John, chapter number 5. At home, I've been trying to slow down. And, you know, the nerves, we were talking the other day about when you teach, you're always nervous, you know. And slow down. And so forth. So I'll try to slow down. If not, then we'll be done here in about 9:30, and we can have an early break and a Q&A and be done, okay? 1 John 5, verse number 9, if you will. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of the Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, dispensationally, the nation of Israel, a little flock, but what I want you to see in verse 9 is we receive the witness of men. How many of you hear something by man and you believe it to be true? How many of you witnessed the earthquake that just happened here a couple days ago? How many of you saw it on the air, on the news, and said, you know what, they had an earthquake in California? What did you do with the witness of men? You believed them. Now, I used to live here. I know what it is like to go through one, and you believe when the earth is moving, then guess what? You're in an earthquake. So you believe the witness. We receive the witness of men, but notice what he says. The witness of God is what? Is greater. And when you receive the witness of God, what is the witness of God? What's the record? What is the witness of God in the verse? Testifying of who? His Son. And there's a record there that God has put out, i.e. the Word of God, that's about His Son. And what are we to do? We're to receive that. If we receive it, what does the verse say? Verse 11, there's eternal life in receiving that record, isn't there? Even for us today in the age of grace, when we receive His Son, what's one of the blessings that we get? Eternal life. So the issue of faith is a positive response to the Word of God. The Word of God is placed in front of you, and you believe the record. You believe the Word of God. Look over with me to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. At home we've had some conversations about letting the Bible define itself. And that's what I'm trying to do with you. You can open up a dictionary, and there's nothing wrong with dictionaries, and there's nothing wrong with concordances. We're going to talk about charity. I've got the charity, the bond of perfectness, and in charity, that word charity, Paul uses 21 times. That's it. Okay? Well, how did I find that out? I got one of those electronic Bibles, and I put in charity and hit punch, and it came up 21 times. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with using the tools, but I wanted to show you this morning how to let the Bible define itself. Romans 4 verse number 3 is a good definition of faith. For the what saith the Scripture? Abraham what? He did what? He believed God. Okay, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What was Abraham's faith? What did Abraham do? He just believed the Word of God. What was the Word of God to Abraham? I'm going to do Genesis 12. I'm going to do this. Genesis 15. I'm going to do that. I mean, he just believed God. So that's what faith is, ultimately. How do you believe God? Chapter 10 of Romans, verse 17 says what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to have the Word of God to have faith. Okay, just like if you sit in that chair, there was a point in time in your life that you didn't believe that chair could hold you up. But what? Somebody had the witness of man? It's fine, honey. Sit down. Teaching. The Word of God comes along. Faith. It's simply believing God. It's simply believing the Word of God. You hear His Word and you believe. Everything in faith revolves around the trustworthy and the integrity of who you believe. Okay? You follow that? Every faith encompasses everything about faith, whether it's in the Word of God or whether it's in something else, is in the integrity and the trustworthy of who you're believing. Now, last night we were talking about the Word of God. I never saw those name things. That was kind of interesting last night, the names. Okay? That's the Word of God. That's His Word. Now, is God's integrity ever in question? No. Is His trustworthy ever in No. Is yours? Or mine? Yeah. Okay. We tend to falter along the way sometimes. You know, I'm humble and proud of it. You know, you kind of stumble there. But everything in faith is fundamental because it's in who you are trusting. And it's in who you're placing everything in and involved in. Go over with me to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to spend a little time here in Galatians. Because this issue of faith, Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? What a question. Who's bewitched you? When I came, Paul, he says, man, when I talked to you guys, it was like Christ was crucified right in your midst. It was so real for you. So important. And you know, we're talking about faith being fundamental, and again, you can't see my notes. But then until I just read again, you have to understand here what Paul's saying to the Corinthians. Verse 2, he says, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of what? Faith. What did they hear when Paul showed up about Jesus Christ being crucified? So evident, I mean, it was just like it happened it was so real to them that it was just like it happened right in their presence. And he says, man, when you guys heard the gospel, when you heard that you were a sinner and that you needed a Savior, you were lost. What's Romans 4 verse 5? We didn't go down that far in chapter 4, man, go, but what did he say? It's not a work. You guys believed it. So you believed the gospel, right? Now you're over here trying to work your way and keep work to stay saved. And keep the... But how did you begin? Did you hear it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What did they hear that about the cross? They heard the Word of God. They heard the Word. 1 Thessalonians there, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, our gospel. Paul says, my gospel. They heard the gospel. They heard the Word, and the Word went to work in them. And it saved them. It justified them. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's interesting how Paul says that here in Galatians 3 about the hearing of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So you can equate the hearing of faith to what? The hearing of the Word of God. They heard the Word, and it began to work in them. And it began they believed it. And then, yet, when they started walking, they didn't walk by faith. They walked over here in something else, in the works of the law. But faith is very fundamental here. I hope you're catching on. You're looking at me like maybe you're not. Maybe I'm not being very clear. Maybe I'm still tired. Okay, because everything we're talking about here is faith. The hearing of faith, they heard it, they believed it. It worked to their justification, but in the Galatians it didn't work to their sanctification. It was working they went another direction. When you look back over, hold on to Galatians, back in Colossians 2. Colossians chapter number 2, in verse number 6. Colossians 2 and verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith. You believed Him. You believed the Word of God. So now when you're on this side over here, and you're walking and you're living the Christian life, Colossians 2:6 one of the only verses that I know that spell out the Christian walk in one verse. Okay, I'm justified by faith, then how should I be walking? By faith. Well, what is that faith relying in? The Word of God and who this is and who I am in Christ and the spiritual blessings that I have. Look over with me at 1 Thessalonians 2 again. Verse number 13. You see, faith, what I'm trying to show to you, I guess, is faith is at the root of everything. But it's faith, and not that the sun's going to come up in the morning, because it does, but it's faith in the Word of God. And it's faith in what He has said to us. Colossians 2 and verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which ye had heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that what? That belief. You want the Word of God to work in you, what do you got to do? You got to believe it. It's at the very fundamental, it's at the very basis of everything. Look back over with me at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Real quick here. Ephesians 4, verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling. One Lord. What's that next one? One faith. That's interesting. One faith. Now, if you keep reading, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. This is the sevenfold unities of the Spirit. This is the doctrinal statement of the Spirit, the doctrinal statement of the body of Christ, if you will. But drop down and notice how he says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of what? The faith. Okay, which is then that faith is going to do what? It's going to end of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, we know a passage in 2 Timothy 3 that talks about a perfect man, don't we? How does a perfect man of God, how is he furnished? All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. How's a man of God made perfect? How in the passage here are you going to be made perfect? Through the Word of God. Through what? The faith. Through the one faith, the Word of God. Now, that one faith has some other elements to it. But number one, before you got to have faith in something, and it starts in the Word of God. It's interesting about faith and the Word of God. Go back with me to Luke 16. I was, trying to think of an illustration here about faith and something that's a little vivid that we would know about. Faith is fundamental. One, it starts right there in the Word of God. You've got to have faith in the Word of God. So then that means you have to have what? Take a step to the side. You've got to have the Word of God. Okay? And those are the evening meetings, and by the end of the week, you'll know you have the Word of God if you don't already know you have the Word of God. Okay? You got to have the Word of God. Then you have a positive response towards the Word of God. When the Word of God said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for all those in Adam die, yea, by one man sin entered in the world, so then death passed upon all men, therefore what? All are sinners." What are you figuring out? That we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin. But there's a solution to the sin problem. But the gift of God is eternal life. But what's the gift? The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says there in Romans 5, verse number 9 there about much more being done, you're justified by His blood. Where did you learn all that? From the Word of God. When you believed it, what were you believing? The Word of God. So when you come on over on this side and you start beginning to walk in your life, faith is very fundamental because now you're going to walk by faith. And that's Keith's next hour. Okay? Look at Luke 16. Something interesting here with rich man and Lazarus. You know the story. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And he dies. And Lazarus dies. And Lazarus goes to the Abraham bosom, the paradise side, and the rich man goes to the torment side. And the rich man and Abraham start having a conversation. And in verse number 27, then he said, and that will be the rich man, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." And Abraham said unto them, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them," what? Hear them. They got the Word of God up there. Let them hear the Word of God. And he said, "No, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rose from the dead." They have the Word of God. They just got to go, what? Believe the Word of God. Now, faith, why faith is fundamental? We understand, first of all, faith is what? Positive response to the Word of God. It's believing God. Why it's fundamental and why it is really required, because faith is the only response that God will ever accept. What does Isaiah 64 say about your righteousness? It's what? Filthy rags. The only response that God is going to accept is faith, whether it's in justification or in sanctification, because it's going based upon His Word. Faith responding to His Word. And faith is you believe what God said. And the reason why it's fundamental is it goes all the way back before the foundation of the world. It goes all the way back to a point in time where there's a phrase that we read and we use called the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now last year at camp, that evening messages were all about the faith of Christ. But I want you to see something about why. See, I told you we'd get out of here at 9:30. Okay? I want you to understand why faith is fundamental. Why is it? Okay? Why isn't it something else? Even in the Old Testament, faith is the basis of everything. Go back and read Hebrews 11. I mean, Abel had faith. Faith in what? Faith in what his daddy told him to do in the Word of God and the sacrifice and everything. Look with me to Philippians chapter number 3. It's interesting. Why is it faith is the only response that God will accept? Faith is what the Godhead requires. The faith of Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ, by the way, is only used by the Apostle Paul. No one else uses it. Okay? They'll talk about the faith of him. Paul talks about the faith of him, but only Paul uses this term, Philippians 3, verse number 9. And be found, verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted for loss. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Now watch, notice it's comma. Here's a definition of the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God, how? By faith. Now the faith of Christ, it says what it says. It's His faithfulness to go to the cross and accomplish what the Father and the Spirit had commissioned Him to do and said, this is what we need you to do. But notice the righteousness of God comes how? By faith. It took Jesus Christ to rely on what His Father told Him and the Spirit confirming that to then go and do what the Word of God to Him was, which is what? You're going to be born of a virgin? You're going to be made like a man? You're going to be man, you're going to die. And you're going to be Israel's Messiah and Savior and Redeemer and Deliverer. Look over at Romans 3. But then also, by the way, we got this little secret plan called the mystery where you're going to be the Savior and the head, if you will. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. It's interesting about this issue of the faith of Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. That faith came from somewhere. It came from way back when, but it was based upon Him what? Believing the Word of the Father and the Spirit. Romans 3 verse 22, we're jumping right in. If you look back up at verse 21, but now the righteousness of God. Notice what we're talking about, the righteousness of God, that perfect righteousness, that righteousness that you and I lack. Verse 23, for all have come short of the glory of God. We don't have it in ourselves. We lack that. We need that. God's justice requires what? Perfect righteousness. He's got it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified. Okay? Being justified. Now we have the righteousness of God, comes by the faith of Christ. Now we're justified. What did we do? Well, we were sinners and we were short of the glory. We did what? We believed in Christ. And he's believing in the Word of the Father, and now righteousness is being passed down through the line. The first time the phrase is used here in 3:22, and Paul, again, right in the butt now, and the change in the system, the change here from going from the law to grace, the change from time past to but now, it rests, notice the verse 22, even the righteousness which is by the faith, it changes and it rests upon the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, His faith. Here again, the righteousness of God is depending upon faith. You guys see that? I hope. If you don't, you can ask questions in a minute. Because faith is fundamental because it started with Christ. It starts with the Godhead. They had faith. And the only response that God will ever accept is faith. And faith in what? Whether the Son comes up? No, what His Son did at Calvary, because that demonstrates His faithfulness to do the Word of the Father and the Spirit. To do what needed to be done. In John, right before the cross, he says, hey, if I don't go do this, there's no one else that can fulfill the Scriptures. There's nobody else that can do this but me. So I got to go do it. Talking about the cross. I've got to go to the cross. Why? Because he understands. He knows. By His faithfulness in obeying the Word of the Father, He demonstrates. Go back over with me to Galatians 2. He demonstrates faith. He puts it out there as a fundamental issue. But it's not just been a fundamental issue today in the age of grace. It's been that way since Adam. Adam and Eve, after their sin, what did they do? Operation Fig Leaf. Made clothes. Tried to do some things on their own. And what did God come along and do? No, it's done this way now. And it's interesting that with Abraham, he institutes sacrifice. He institutes with the sacrifice. Abel and Cain have the sacrifice issue there. Abraham, the covenant is sealed with a sacrifice. Now, we don't read about Israel's sacrifices till we get over in the book of Leviticus with the law. But yet, it's already being taught over here because it's an issue of faith. Galatians 2, verse number 16. Galatians 2, verse number 16. Verse 15. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How are we justified? How are we made right? How are we made perfect in the eyes of God? How? By the faith of Christ. Our faith in the shed blood of Christ, right? But it takes a step back, if you will, to His faithfulness to go and do it. You know, the New Bible's changed, though, to faith in Christ. Well, my faith wavers from time to time. My faith isn't perfect faith, if you just kind of think about it. His is what? Perfect. He was perfect all the time. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says he was made to be sin who knew no sin. He had to be made sin. I got to make you this. So that what? We could be made what? Righteous. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. There's a process here. Christ, He's born, grows up, He dies, He's buried, He's resurrected. That information, as it applies to Israel, will be taught to them later in Hebrews through Revelation. The interruption in the program. Paul shows up and says, okay, you saw that. Now this is what it means to you guys, and this is what it means really for all, Romans 3:25. And that was His faithful. He believed God, the Father, and He just went right down the road and did what was required of Him to do. And He did it faithfully. In other words, He accomplished it. We come along and we see that we need a Savior. We're a sinner. We need a Savior. And guess where? There He is. And we believe it. Now, how do we get there? Because the Word of God says, this is what you need. You want perfect righteousness? It's in my Son and what He accomplished and did at Calvary. When you're walking in your Christian life, guess what? It's the same way. Colossians 2:6. How do I get over here? How do I have a stable Christian life? In the Word of God. 2:16 again, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Drop down to verse number 19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now that's the kicker. That's the key here. And that's really how I was trying to approach this issue about faith being fundamental. Is that in our walk, it's the faith, our faith, our positive response to the Word of God, walking in who we are in God, who we are in Christ, so that we can be alive unto God. Romans 6, what did we learn? We're dead. You know, you've heard the term dead men walking. That's what's going on here. You're dead. Your old flesh has been crucified. It's been cut off. That I might live unto God. Verse 20. We love this verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself to me. You see the faith of the Son of God there? Notice how it's defined. Where was His faith demonstrated? At Calvary. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. But notice what Paul's doing here. He's saying, hey, we're talking about how I live. The Galatians are messed up. They're living under legalism. They put a performance system on themselves. They've gone back under the law. They've gone back under self-imposed legalism, if you will. And he says, wait a minute. Your life, the life you're living, you're living it in who you are in Christ. Romans 6, if you'll look about it, crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. That's Romans 6. Not I. That's Romans 7. You know, the struggle that Paul has in Romans 7. But then he talks about the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Life in the Son. That's Romans 8. Paul's dragging them right back into Romans and saying, hey, you guys got it messed up here. And again, it's the issue of faith. Look over in chapter 3. You see, the moment you add something to the situation, when you add you to the scenario, it becomes about you, not about the faith of Christ. The moment, chapter 3, the moment that you add anything to, it's messed up. Romans 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise, how? By faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that, what? Believe. Galatians 3:22. How has the promise come? What's the promise? Titus 1. Can't even quote it. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What's the promise? Eternal life. How does it come though? By the faith of Jesus Christ. Why is it fundamental? Because the Godhead requires it. Go with me to Ephesians 1. And just notice the scene with me here on this issue. The Godhead has a meeting before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, when? Before the foundation of the world, the Godhead has a meeting. And this is the God the Father speaking here, blessing us with all spiritual blessings, and you can keep reading, without blame, predestinated us, the adoption, the beloved, the forgiveness of sins, and so forth. But they have a meeting, and they have a meeting about you and I, the members of the body of Christ. And if you drop down to verse number 9, you begin to see some information exposed about this meeting. Now, in the meeting, we don't have the details. You have to use some of your imagination about some of the stuff that you understand about doctrine here. You know, this is what we're going to do, and it's going to center around you, son. It's going to center around you and the cross. Verse number 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. This is a meeting. They got together. This is what we are going to do. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. They have this meeting. Jesus Christ becomes the center spoke, if you will, of the meeting. Okay, son, this is, you are going to be the visible manifestation of the Godhead. You are going to be the spokesman for us, and this is what we're going to do. And He begins to lay it out. And they begin to lay out His birth and His death and the impact of on the earth and the impact that He's going to have for the body of Christ. And I can just, like you said, you've got to use your imaginations and nothing, no disrespect meaning, but I could just sit there and Him saying, okay, I can do that. I'll do that. Okay. And He goes and He does it and it works out. And now it's been revealed through Paul, the mystery of His will. What's the mystery of His will? Verse 10. That He's going to, everything centered in My Son. Now, you got Ephesians. Look back, hold on to Ephesians 3. But look back at Romans 3. Romans 3:25. So the Son, He comes, He walks on the earth, and he fulfills the prophetic scriptures about what He's going to be doing for the nation of Israel and their Messiah, and he dies, and He's buried, and he's risen the third day, and then He's ascended into heaven, and in the Acts period, they're ready to roll on with the program, and it's interrupted. And Paul says in Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Propitiation, that full satisfying payment. When God looks at the cross, what does He see? The propitiation, the fully satisfying payment, right? But notice how Paul says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through how? Through faith in His blood. What was God trusting? The blood of Christ. Why? Because at Calvary it demonstrated the very essence of faith, and that is that Jesus Christ believed that God the Father was going to resurrect Him. And the Spirit was the witness to it. And He says, yeah, I can do that. I believe You, Father. I believe You, Spirit. And off He goes. And He believed the Word of God to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. It's interesting in 3:25 that Paul's declaring it. I declare. To declare His righteousness. Verse 26, to declare His righteousness, I say, to declare. Paul's like, hey, this is what's going on here, guys. God Himself had faith in the blood of the Son, the other member of the Godhead, and He said, hey, that's getting the job done. And back in Ephesians 3, well, you know what? You're in Romans 3, right? Go back over there to Romans 8. And jumped ahead here a little bit. Look at Romans 8. Verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see the activity of the Spirit? What did the Spirit... Well, the Spirit was involved in something, wasn't it? Resurrection of Christ. The Father resurrection, the Spirit resurrection. And what does Jesus say? No man takes My life. I can take it and give it. And He says, it's finished, I'm done, gave up the ghost, and up He rose. My point is the issue of faith... Why is faith fundamental? Because God requires it. And it's the only answer that God will ever accept. Because it's been that way since before the foundation of the world. It's been that way amongst themselves. And just as we were looking last night at God being supernatural and outside of the continuum, when He creates man, what does He put right in there? Okay, faith. And He makes that an issue of believing my word. Now, when you go back to Hebrews 11, and you begin to read the great cloud of witness, every one of these listed starts with a by faith or a through faith. When he says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith... I mean, what did they do? Look at that thing about Enoch. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And you go back and study Enoch, and you know what? Enoch didn't always walk with God, did he? But when God spoke to him about his son Methuselah and what was going to happen there, and then flood, what did Enoch do? He believed God. And then he began to, what? Walk with God. And Enoch became one of the teachers at the time of, and he's, Noah's, you know, everybody thinks Noah was the only guy whistling out there preaching. Well, Enoch was there too, prior. But what did he do? He, what? Believed God. The reason why faith is fundamental is because that's the only thing God will ever accept. He won't accept you and who you are, because that's just filthy rags. That's just you trying to do it. You're an old sinner. But He accepts what His Son did. And if you're in His Son, Ephesians 3:12, He says, by faith we have access to the Father. By whose faith? His faith, but then our faith in Him. So faith being fundamental on your spiritual checkup, if you will, is believing God. The word. Why is it fundamental? It's the only thing God will accept. If you go back, you're in Hebrews 11. If you look at verse number 6 again, but without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please Him. If you don't have it, you're not pleasing Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And that goes on into Israel's program and what He's dealing with them. But in Romans 8, it says, Paul says that it's impossible to please God if you're where? In the flesh. So it begins to trickle over. So why is faith in fundamental? It's the only thing God has ever and will ever accept from you. It's all that He requires, I should probably say it better, is faith. Believing His Word. That's why it's fundamental. Okay? Now I'll let Keith deal with the walking by faith, because that's the next step. Because in your walk, how do you walk? By faith, believing the Word of God. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Son that He died on Calvary's tree for us. We thank You for the blessings that we have in Him. We thank You for that we have Your Word, that we can study it, and that we can rejoice in who we are in Your Son. We'll just give You the praise and the glory. Amen. All right.